everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 223, and today we're going to continue talking about the current market, but this time we're going to be covering commercial and how creative financing can be used. While listening to this episode, if you guys have questions, please head over to the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. If you're not part of the community, just search the Creative Financing Podcast in Facebook and ask to join. There will be a live session on the second Thursday of every month, so bring your questions. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can ask your questions in the comments below. If you're getting value from this episode, please like, share, and subscribe to the show. We also want your feedback, so please rate and review wherever you listen.
Cool. Yeah, thank you, Nicole. So we are doing basically what we did last time, but about commercial. I'm not as much of an expert in this, even less than I am in residential. So I'd love to hear kind of where you think things are going, just generally. Do you think it's on the same trend as residential, where interest rates will go up, prices will go down, it'll become a buyer's market? But pass it over to you.
So commercial is where I really see the changes already starting to occur. And when I say that doesn't necessarily mean everyone is just dropping their prices. And but what is really happening, let's see if I can make this kind of clear. Commercial properties in general have been selling for a premium for several years now. And when I say a premium, we evaluate commercial properties on a cap rate. And cap rate being the return on your investment you should expect to get if you were to pay cash for the property. So when you're seeing a lot of properties selling at a 3.5%, 4%, 4.5% cap rate, and even some of the B and C class, and even less than C class type stuff still selling for 6 cap rate, that is really high. And when what that means is that you have a certain amount of money after expenses that will help cover two things: debt service and cash flow. When the cap rate is really low, there's not that much cash flow. And but now you have rising interest rates, and that if you were selling at that same low cap rate, that there's even less cash flow. And so I have looked at properties in like the California market, specifically like LA, and where they're selling, where they're advertising stuff at 4% cap rates. But if you were to just look at the numbers, right, the income minus their expenses, their NOI, that if you were to put down 30%, 35% and go to the bank and get a conventional loan, this is prior to all the increases, right, that you would be lucky to break even on the property. But now if you're not adjusting your price and you're still trying to get that same price, well, rising interest rates mean that now it may take 40, 45% to break even. And like, there's no cash flow. And that you will get pushback from investors, from buyers, that they're not going to do that. In a crazy hot market, there are always some that will. There are hedge funds that will. But as the market starts to shift, you will have less and less of those people willing to do that. And then that part I already see. And I made an offer yesterday, and the offer, but the seller was open to financing, actually wanted financing. The issue was that he was asking $3.2 million for a 26 unit apartment building. And this is the other thing that you would see a lot, is that, okay, I'm getting this much in rents, but you really could get an added $300, $400 a month in rent but I'm going to sell it based on as if you are getting it, not based on what you are getting when you buy. Okay. That part's going to start going away a little bit because people aren't going to be willing to do that. Okay. Well, that's what this guy's doing. Is there is some value add upside here to raising the rents. And I don't know if the rents are just low because he's lazy and hasn't raised them, or that's because the units need to be updated to be able to get those rents. And so he's like, yeah. Ben, they threw out some ideas of what, you know, would work. And they threw out 40% down payment, which is get real, and 6% interest, I think amortized over 25 years. And, you know, I started looking at those numbers and I'm like, that's like break even. There would be no cash flow. And why would I do that? I can get away with going to the bank and I could actually get better terms at the bank even right now than that. So we responded and said, absolutely not. That's not going to work. And then they said, which is one of the things I'm hearing a lot more now, all right, make us the offer that would work for you and let us see what it is. And so we did. And one of the things that I'm doing a lot more than what I have been is, would I make a creative offer on a property that is in, it's got a lower occupancy, or maybe there's been a lot of capital expense done over the last year or so. There's been no profits, and or something needs to happen to get income up or expenses down, that I may offer something where, hey, I'm either going to pay you this much a month for the first year or two, and then it will jump up to a higher payment a year or two or three down the road, where when the income jumps up, now I can afford to pay you more. Or I may offer, hey, for the first 6 months, even 12 months, there's no payments. There's deferred payments. So, and when I say deferred, interest is not accruing. I'm just saying I am not making you a payment because with the money that I'm putting down, that I need money to put into the property to get it to the point where I can start making you payments. So I'm doing both of those significantly more than I have been over the last few years. My guess is that we will see more and more of that stuff get accepted. I think creative financing will be even more prevalent in commercial than we've seen over the last few years. Commercial is always a little more sophisticated than residential. But if people are trying to get anywhere near what they've been asking or think they should be asking, they're not going to get it with people going to the bank and getting conventional loans. That will not work. The numbers will not work. So it's much easier to deal with commercial, right? Because I can show someone numbers do not work. There's no cash flow. I am not putting down $400,000, $1 million, whatever the case may be, if I'm not generating a return on my investment. So they will be more open to, because they're still distressed. There's still motivation in the commercial world, even if they're making money. And creative financing will allow for a much quicker sale and will allow for them to get whatever burden off their shoulders, or get them closer to their asking price, which, for whatever reason, is very hard for sellers to acknowledge that just not getting this price anymore.
So for you, are you you're more so just looking at cash flow then, making sure the numbers make that sense from that perspective? Or are you on cap rate a bit more as well, saying I need a 7 cap or 8 cap?
So I don't have a hard and fast rule of where I'd like to be cap rate wise, because I will tell you, 5 years ago is much different than it is right now. There were, and Cody, you even know this because we were doing stuff together over the course of this, but we'd see apartments that you could buy at an 8 cap that potentially you could get to a 10, 12 cap, right? Well, there's no 8 cap, and there's certainly no 10, 12 cap right now. And there hasn't been for a couple of years. Now they all get lumped into a 6 cap. And to me, buying at the 6 cap to hope to generate an 8 cap is not a good enough value add. And so the goal absolutely will be to buy at a better, higher cap rate, because now we're getting value when we're buying. And then if there is some value add to the property, we're only increasing that cap rate. But it may take a bit before we start seeing that again. But when we're using creative finance, now the cap rate might not matter quite as much, because we can create cash flow based on the kinds of offers. We can create cash on cash returns a lot higher based on not putting as much money down and increasing our cash flow. But I would tell you the same thing that we talked about in last episode, probably even more important in the commercial realm, is where do you end up if there's a balloon payment? Because, you know, if you have this short-term financing, and commercial can change much faster than residential, that if you're not at that, and lenders can stop saying, hey, instead of lending 80% of the value of the property, we're being a little more cautious and we're going to lend 70%. Makes a big difference if you go in structuring a deal where, hey, I'm going to end up at 80% loan to value at a time of a balloon. And let's say the market's gone down and you're nowhere near where you need to be to refinance the property. So now you have a choice. You know, do you come up with more money, refinance at a higher rate, get less cash flow, get less cash on cash return? So even more important to look at where the end result is going to be, with an idea of where interest rates could be, which is strictly a guess. But I don't think we're guessing at 4% anymore. We're guessing more at 6, 6.5, maybe even 7%. I'd rather be more conservative than aggressive at this point.
Something I'm curious about. So I do a lot more residential. I can look at comps. I can see pretty clearly same bed, same bath, similar square footage, sold for this much a month ago.
Yep.
Commercial, are you talking to buyers a lot? Are you talking to realtors? How do you know that, okay, I need a higher cap right now, I need a higher cash on cash or whatever it might be, versus a month ago, 2 months ago?
So the first thing that I'm going to look at is, can I generate the kind of cash flow that will make sense? If you're buying, let's say, a 50-unit apartment, and you're getting $4,000 a month cash flow, net cash flow, that's probably not enough. That's less than $100 per unit. And that people may have gotten away with that over the years, but to me, that's being ultra aggressive. And so I am looking at cash flow. I don't look as much at cap rate when I'm looking at, I shouldn't say that. I might be looking at cap rate more at not where we're starting, because, you know, we're in the process of putting up an apartment complex under contract, where we're paying for sure on the higher end, probably over what the property is worth. But we have 66 months of principal only payments. And so this property will be down, you know, about $1.4 million in price and what we have to refinance. And the rents can go up significantly. And so just in the rent increase, I mean, you probably can increase the value $1.5 million. So even though if we were looking at cap rate when we're buying, it's not very good. If we're looking at cash and cash return when we're buying, it's not bad. If we're looking at what could be the case in 12-ish months when rents are increased, it's really good. And if you wanted even to turn around and, you know, buy this, just raise rents and turn around and sell it, there would be equity. You know, where the market will be at that particular point in time is questionable, but there would certainly be equity in this property.
Okay, so it sounds like if you're keeping it for yourself, knowing what kind of cash flow you either want now or once you get it fixed
up. Even if you're wholesaling it, right? Because you've got to think like the buyer anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was going to say when wholesaling, it's knowing kind of what your buyer has an appetite for. And that's probably found through talking with them and just experience of going through that process.
Well, let's talk about why this particular deal might be really good. One is it's turnkey, right? Mm-hmm. It's all rented and they're newer units. So not much, if any, deferred maintenance. They will always be rented. There is a demand. And the rents can go up significantly, probably $200 to $250, maybe even $300 per unit. The down payment is more like 13% down than 20. There is no interest rate. So where do you end up? You're probably going to where this was like a 4 cap going in initially. When you refinance, now you're going to be more at like the 1% rule. Like your rents are going to be 1% of what your balance is going to be owed on the property. To get like an A class building, you know, that's newer in that position in 5.5 years, that's nice. Even if you are, most investors look for one thing, value add, right? Because they want to be able to, they got to go raise money, buy the property, raise the repair costs, do the repairs, raise the rents, hold it for 12 months, which now goes off of a higher value where they can refinance and put longer term debt on the property. Well, this is the same property except without all that pain in the butt work to do, right? Where no deferred maintenance, no getting rid of people and moving new people in. It's giving notice that when your lease is up, your rent's going up. And these people don't have much of a choice. These are the lowest rents in the entire area. There's nowhere else to go. So move out and someone else will take it. No problem. I don't have to raise, I don't have to do a syndication. I don't have to raise money. I got to come with a down payment and then I've got financing that no one can beat for the next 5.5 years. Then I will refinance at a much lower principal balance. So, hey, if interest rates are 6, 6.5, this still cash flows. And that's without any other rent increases that can occur over that 5.5 year period.
Okay. Yeah, that's super helpful. And I think we've talked primarily about kind of multifamily or apartment kind of stuff. Is it pretty similar across RV parks, storage units, mobile home parks, office space and stuff like that? Is that all in kind of a similar boat?
So similar in terms of like mobile home parks are trading at 5 and 6 cap rate, which is insane. That a few years ago, they pretty much started at the lowest would be 6%. And yeah, you'd see stuff at 7, 8, 9, even 10%. You don't see that right now. It's the exception, not the rule. So I think that you'll see that start to loosen up. Yeah, but you have issues with all of these properties in terms of if you're doing value add or you're doing renovations, or let's say in terms of a mobile home park where you'd want to bring in newer or used properties, you're looking at supply chain issues. You may be 9 months to a year or longer delayed. And so if that's the goal, you absolutely got to plan for it. And as a new buyer, that should be part of your decision-making process. And the price and the terms that you may be offering. Again, maybe you do like more of that escalated payment or no payments for a while until, things stabilize a little more. So mobile home parks, I still think that there is a window of opportunity to buy these, and that they're great cash flow type properties. And there's a number of ways to do value add with them. So I love those. RV parks are, in my opinion, the hidden gem asset right now. And the reason I say that is mobile home parks are more affordable. So people will go there to be able to find affordable living. But Most parks don't allow rentals, and so you'd have to own, and I don't know if that's always going to be advantageous. Second, RV parks are becoming more, people are staying longer. It's not like a week stay or a weekend stay. It's, hey, I'm staying 6 months or a year at a time now. And it's more affordable. We just made an offer, and I really hope we get this. It was a super deal. But he has spent so much money on capital expense that he's showing no profit. He's lost money the last year. And he's someone that doesn't need the money, which is good, yet he's motivated. He wants to sell this. I think he's selling at a really good price. It's like a 129 space RV park that's got a saltwater pool and a gym, and all the spots are covered, which is kind of unheard of. His rents are probably low. It's only maybe 55-60% occupied, but he's asking $2.2 million, I think it was, and was open to terms. I put in there, no payments for maybe 6 months or something, which was give me some time to get the park occupied. The down payment was 10% ish, and interest was pretty low, and the term was longer, right? Looking more at 7 to 10 year plus terms rather than 3 to 5 year terms. Yeah, mostly because I'd rather not refinance. Or if I'm going to wholesale it, I'd rather my buyer not have to worry about refinancing anytime soon. I'd rather be able to pick the time frame that makes the most sense to refinance. Give them the opportunity to wait for rates to kind of go down again rather than continually go up.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's helpful. And that's all the questions I have on my end.
Anything on your end, Nicole?
No, this is like commercial and mobile home parks and storage units and all that is still so like new to me. I don't even know what to ask. So this was, I was a sponge on this episode.
Well, the storage units I'm like, what? We really didn't mention storage. Storage's super popular right now. And storage to me is still like a business, right? That even though you can work out depending on the size and where it's located, you can do a lot of the managing virtually, which makes storage really interesting to investors. And as people may need to downsize, you know, they don't get rid of their belongings, right? They go find some storage and put them there until it usually gets auctioned off because they realize it was just a bunch of garbage or junk anyway. But it is a really good business, and it's very similar to the other assets, right? That they get kind of lumped into this 5-6% cap rate, which was not the case before. And people are asking higher prices, but you'll start to see pressure start pushing that down, and the rise in interest rates are going to do the same. The cash flow just won't support the rise in interest rates. And so sellers will have a choice. Creative finance or lower the price. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. So next episode, we will talk about a deal that one of the apprentices brought me and why we're looking at it in the way that we're looking at it. I think it'll help a lot of people understand how to structure offers. So go out and create some terms.